warm. You get home, still daylight. I love this time of year. About my favorite time of year, spring, and this time. It just goes by too quick, that's all. I love it, getting out of church, it's still daylight. Just good to be here, good to be in church. You're going to appreciate these Sunday nights one of these days. Anybody else, right quick, before I read Scripture. Tonight, I'm going to take a few minutes, talk to the parents about children. No matter how old your children are, if they're grown, married, or if they're just newborns, this is for all parents here tonight. Also, for all of our young people, teenagers, I want you to listen too, because you are one. You can make life easier on yourself if you'll do what God wants you to do. Look at Proverbs chapter 10, verse number 1. I want you to hold your Bibles, keep them open tonight, as I'll be asking you to turn to several scriptures. Proverbs 10, 1. The Proverbs of Solomon, a wise son maketh a glad father, but a foolish son is the heaviness of his mother. I heard Brother Derek this morning, I think it was mentioning one of the guys who was a shooter, or one of the terrorist guys who done one of these murders or something, and that's a perfect example of that verse. A foolish son is the heaviness of his mother. One thing that hurts, breaks my heart for these people, these kids, young people that go out and do these shootings, like that guy that shot them people in Charleston, and the guy that shot them people at that Marine base the other day. There's a broken-hearted mother somewhere. The victims and all of them are broken-hearted. Terrible. But can you imagine how that kid's mama must feel? That'd be awful. The whole world hating your kid. That'd be terrible. Now, tonight, I want to talk about our children and raising kids tonight. Just a little advice about raising children. That's the title, Raising Children. And what I'm going to do tonight, I'm going to give you a little outline, and I'm going to slow down just a little bit. Won't go as fast as I normally do. And I'm going to give you 7 little points this evening that will help you as you raise a child. I do ask you to keep your Bibles open, as we'll be turning to some other scriptures here in just a minute. Everybody's asking the question nowadays. Families are falling apart. What's wrong? Our juvenile centers are full. Rehab is full. Our home for runaways are full. Suicide, the second leading cause of death. Car wrecks and drugs. We're in a certain age group. Suicide. Something is bad wrong with parent-children relationship and this generation of young people. Is there such a thing as raising kids the right way? Yes, absolutely. I'm glad we have a Bible that tells us how to raise our children. If it didn't, we'd be in bad shape. Now, one of the things you're going to notice about our generation is that our generation has everything backwards. The crook has become the hero. The good guy has become bad guy. Right has become wrong. Wrong has become right. You're celebrated if you're a pervert. You're criticized if you try to stand for what's right. Everything's gone backwards in our generation. We shouldn't be surprised if the belief about raising children is also gone backwards. So you parents tonight, I'm going to give you some good advice if you'll listen to me, and I believe it'll help you. If you want to write these down, number one, if you want to raise your children right, number one, be an example of what you want your children to be. Now that's very simple. That's very basic and that's very plain. But it's very profound also. You've heard it all. You've all heard it said. People say, don't do as I do. Do as I say do. That won't get the job done as a parent. You want your kids to do something? You do it. You want them not to do something? You don't do it. Amen? That's simple advice. Be an example of what you want your children to do. Don't criticize your children for doing something, and they'll say, well, Mama, you do the same thing, or Daddy, you do. That's why, I mean, it's hard to criticize your child for smoking pot if you've got beer in your refrigerator. It's hard to criticize your child for cussing if you sit and watch movies where they cuss and talk filthy in it all the time and say things when you get, quote, mad. I mean, if you want your children to do right, you do right. You've heard me tell this illustration 100 times, but it's worth repeating over and over and over. One day there's a man in a bad snowstorm, went down. He was having a few drinks with some of his buddies in a bar, and he was sitting there cutting up, and they was all getting drunk in the old bar, wicked atmosphere. About that time, he felt a little something tug on him right here, and he said, "Son, what in the world are you doing? You have no business being here." He said, "Daddy, I just went out in the driveway and followed your footsteps." He said, "I followed your footsteps. I followed your footsteps." I'm telling you, they say, like mother, like daughter. Like father, like son. You know, I'm a student in this thing. I don't have it all figured out. I'm still learning a lot. And I'm continuing my education. You can talk to my kids, talk to my wife. So, you know, I'm always saying, well, that's educational. I can learn from this. And I'm never ceased to amazed. We can have a group of kids at camp. I have nobody in mind when I say this, okay? We can have a group of kids at camp, and we'll have one little old brat girl about that tall. I have nobody in mind when I say it. It could fit many. And and she'll mouth off the whole week, and I want this, and why ain't that, and blah, 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 blah. And I look at her and say, "Good night, girl. Where in the world? Who are you? Where'd you come from?" And then we all meet here, and their parents come to pick them up. And there's something gets out of that car and come down. All it is a bigger, older version of that kid. I say, that explains it all, right? You know, y'all know what I'm talking about. Now I see where she gets it. I see where she gets her looks. I see where she gets her attitude. I see where she gets her smart mouth. I see where it's from that mama. And brother, listen, you'd be surprised. You are teaching kids by how you act, how you behave, the words you say, the places you go, the clothes you wear, the things you do, the things you won't do, the music you listen to, the TV programs you watch. Everything you do has an influence on your children. Say amen. Be an example of what you want your children to do. That's right. I'm telling you, brother, it always works that way. Our bus kids, I meet them here, and I see how they do, and then I finally get to go meet their parents. There's where it come from. There's where they got that. Oh, I see now. Their belief system. No matter how hard you try, your parents influence how you feel, how you look at things, how you react to certain situations. It's amazing. Excuse me. So, be an example of what you want kids to do. What about this girl, lady got up in church, and she took back pills, throat pills, head pills, neck pills, leg pills, arm pills, get up pills, stay up pills, go to sleep pills, stay to sleep pills. I mean, she took handfuls of pills for everything in the world, and she sat up one night and said, "Pray for my son, he's on dope." You know, that's all he'd ever seen his mama do. I say, now if you have to take medicine, that's one thing. But if they see you popping pills just cause you in a bad mood and you're swamped, then that's what they're gonna grow up thinking that a pill is the answer to every problem. And it's not, ladies and gentlemen. If your kids see you grow up men and all you think about and talk about is sports and football and sports and basketball and golf and then they're gonna have that same attitude. Nothing wrong with that in its place. But listen, they've got to have your example. If you want them to be godly, you be godly. If you want them to read the Bible, let them see you reading the Bible. If you want them to pray, let them see you pray. We have these girls over here, a bunch of them, I don't know how many, so spent the night at our house, I don't know how many nights this week, and they stayed over at Carrie's, and they stayed, some of them over there right now. And boy, they got on fire for God at camp, and they stayed, I think it was 5 or 6, spent the night there at the house a couple nights this week. Brother Wayne was there, and we had a house full, and Kelly did something I thought was really good, and I didn't even tell her to. I got up in the morning, and she had a piece of notebook paper like that right there, and it said, "Bible verse for the day." And it said, said something about it. And it's taped on the stove. You know, you put it on the stove, refrigerator, they're going to see it. You put it on the refrigerator, I guarantee you they'll see it 15 times a day. And she put it right there. Next day, another Bible verse up. Next day, Another Bible verse. I thought that was good. We had one today and didn't even have no company. And I guess that was for me. It said, husbands, be good to your wives. But you know what? I thought that was a blessing. I appreciated her doing that. And y'all learned a little bit, didn't you? Okay. They learned, surely they learned a little bit. And I'm telling you, I don't think it'd be wrong if all y'all ladies did that. Put up a Bible verse for the day. Put it in your kids' lunch bag before they go to school. Put it in. Be an example. Let them know that the Bible is the greatest book in the world. And the Lord Jesus is your hero. Put it up here on your house. Put it on your bedroom. Put it above the closet door. Put up Scripture in your house. Don't let them have a picture of Britney Spears in the room. Put up the Bible verse and say, the Lord reigneth and Jesus is coming soon. Be an example of what you want them to be. Number two, a little advice here tonight. Discipline must be balanced with love. Discipline must be balanced with love. Now I'm going to talk more about discipline under point number four. But I'm going to talk about discipline balanced with love. It must be. Discipline without love is dangerous. As a matter of fact, the Bible said, provoke not your children to wrath. Discipline, listen to me, mamas, all you that get mad and hit them, or daddies that get mad and do something, discipline is not something you do to a child. Discipline is something you do for the child. You don't do it because you're mad and take out your frustration on them. You do it because they need it. And you do it in the right spirit with them. All of us know people. All of us know weirdo, crazy nuts that give all Christians a bad name, who are overbearing and mean and are cruel to kids. That's not right. God never advocated being mean to a child. Anybody that hurts a child or is mean to a child ought to be put under the jail. Amen? A defenseless child. Anybody that's mean to them ought to have somebody about twice as big as them treat them the same way. That's wrong. Amen? Two-thirds of all kids that run away are victims of abuse in the home. Two-thirds of them. Two out of every three children that run away, it ain't just so they can be with their friends. It's to get away from an abusive father, or an abusive mother, or an abusive grandparent, or uncle, or cousin, or somebody. All of us have heard horror stories of people who say, my cousin moved in with us. He molested me. I mean, I mentioned that this morning. It makes me think, it makes me sick to even talk about it. But brother, we'd be shocked. We would be shocked if we knew how many of these kids were victims of either physical, sexual, emotional, mental, or verbal abuse. Ladies and gentlemen, discipline must be balanced with love. We've got to know, our kids got to know we love them and we chastise them because we love them, not because we're mean or mad at them or full of the devil or wish. You know what a lot of kids believe? A lot of kids believe that their parents wish they'd have never been born. I've heard them say it. And parents tell them that. Parents tell them, I wish we'd have never had you. That is the height of stupidity to talk to a kid like that. Can you imagine how they're going to grow up? Can you imagine their self-worth that they're going to have or lack thereof when they get big if they've been told, I know people that their parents told them, you was a mistake. You wasn't even supposed to have been born. We didn't even want you. The devil had you brought into this world. And I mean, they grew up thinking that all their life. And so discipline must be balanced with love. I remember when I was playing basketball in high school, and our little gym up there at Nebo, it'd be packed full, Lord have mercy. I mean jam-packed full. Back in the old days when they had the little schools, rivalry and competitiveness was a lot greater. And boy, I mean, little local schools playing each other. Lord have mercy, brother, it was on. I mean, our court, there'd be so many people there that the floor would be round because it'd be people standing around the corner in the corners, we'd be playing on a round floor. So you go flying down through there, running a big crowd of people, popcorn flying up in the air and grits in and everything, kids crying, knock them down. And I remember those games like that. When we'd do something good, we get up. I remember looking in the crowd and finding the face of my daddy. And I remember thinking, I want my daddy to think I done good. There's not a boy in this church here tonight that don't look and want his daddy to be proud of him. Not a one. And if the daddy is continually browbeating them and talking bad to them and about, that's the sorriest thing ever. Is that the best you can do? Brother, it's a bad mistake. Fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, lest they be discouraged. Discipline must be balanced with love. Number three, let me say this also this evening. Are you listening? Instruct children with your words. This is my mom in a nutshell. Deuteronomy said, when you lie down, when you rise up, when you're at the supper table, when you're riding down the road in the car, talk of it. Talk of all His wondrous work. By the way, your kids need your time more than they need your money. I'm going to say that again. Your kids need your time and your love more than they need your money. I know people say, well, I'm going to take another job, so I can buy you this. You know what they need? They might need a little more of your time instead of some money. A bicycle ain't going to do for them what their mama can do for them. I'm going to tell you what I believe. This is my personal opinion. I've lived longer than some of you people. I think if at all possible, I want to be careful how I say this because I don't want to hurt nobody, but if at all possible, mama ought to be in the home with them kids when they're little. If possible. Sometimes I know it's not possible. Sometimes you ain't got no choice. But if at all possible, their mother needs to be with them while they're little. Now, when they get up and they're in school all day long, and that's when you and God and your husband, I'm telling you, while they're little, they need their mama, they want their mama. Nobody can take the place of their mama. I'm not telling you all what to do, and I'm not judging you. I'm saying from personal experience, nobody can care for a child like its real mama when she's right with God. Instruct your children by the word. My mom, what my mom done for us when we was little is invaluable. I wouldn't take $1 million what my mom done for me when I was 4 and 5 years old. She set me on her knee and opened that big Bible and told us about Jonah and the whale and Noah and the ark and Cain and Abel and those stories, and they got ingrained in my head. I don't know it for a fact, but I might not even got saved if it hadn't been for my mom telling me that when I was a little child. You listen? Instruct children with your words. Don't say, what's wrong with you? Your brother never made a D in school. Now look at your grades. You got to remember that he ain't his brother. All kids are different. You have one smart as a whip and another dumber than a rock. That's just the way it goes. You'll have one that's bright and sharp and got a good personality, and you'll have one that's mean as a devil. That's just the way it goes. Usually they get worse the more you have. I don't know why. I think it's because you do real good with your first and you start letting up on them the more they come. Letting them get by with mercy. Carrie used to tell me that all the time. Daddy, you wouldn't let me do that. Why do you let Chris and Corey do that? Well, now that was just the devil talking to her because I was worse on them than I was on her. No, I wasn't. But I'm telling you, you have a tendency to lighten up on them younger ones, don't you? Because they're so cute and they're so sweet. And by the way, this ain't in the message, but let me say this. Don't laugh at a child when they do something mean, like it's something cute. I've seen little kids say a cuss word and I can just die laughing. Hear what he said? You know what he thinks? He thinks it's cool to cuss. He thinks it's cool to misbehave. I was preaching somewhere one night, and this little old brat was crawling around under the seats. He was up here, and everybody around him was just laughing. I started to say, whoever's in charge of that thing, either make it behave or put it in the nursery. That's what we got a nursery for. Now, after they get a certain age, after 3 years old, they understand a whooping. And brother, they learn how to behave. But after when they're one, two, something like that, that's why we have a nursery. It ain't funny for them to disrupt church. It ain't funny for them to run in and out like they on the in this track while somebody's preaching the Word of God. That ain't funny. It's not cute. It's not cute. Lord, I didn't plan on saying all that. You instruct children with their words. Teach them how to behave in church. Don't embarrass them in front of a crowd. Don't try to prove to everybody what a great parent you are because you're a sorry parent and trying to prove to the people you are a good parent and say, "All right, buddy, I'm going to get you." Do it in private. And nobody, you won't have to prove to everybody what a great parent you are. Number four. You listen? You're going to need your Bible now. Use the rod of correction when necessary. Now you're going to need your Bible. Years ago, people had common sense. Nowadays, common sense is not too common. Take your Bible. Turn to Proverbs chapter 13, and I want everybody with a Bible to look at what I'm going to show you. We're going to take about just 5 minutes or so, and I'm going to read you Scripture. I'm just sick up to here with these people who claim to be Christians, Christian teachers, Christian authors, writing books, saying, "Well, we no longer believe in corporal punishment. We no longer believe it's right for the children." Listen, I don't care what they believe, how many degrees they got. I don't care if they got enough degrees to pop a thermometer, or they can write a book up thick, and they've been to school 500 years. You are not going to improve on what God said in that Bible. Amen? I'm sick of this stuff. Well, if you spank a child, you're teaching them to hit. No, you're teaching them not to hit. If little Johnny is mean to little Susie, you spank him just right, you ain't teaching him to hit Susie. You're teaching him if he hits Susie again, he's going to pay a price. Here we go. Everybody got your Bibles. Just so you won't think I'm mean or I believe in child abuse. I mean, there's people all over the world hear this. We get internet. I mean, this crazy thing back yonder. There's people all over the world watching us. I got a text before I got home today. Somebody in Tennessee said, "Great sermon this morning, preacher." I mean, I don't know how it gets out there so quick. But before we even get done here, people in other time zones that ain't had church yet are watching us. And there's people out here saying, "Brother Danny, it's child abuse, it's child abuse." Well, let me tell you what God said, okay? And I'll take what God said over what your daddy or somebody wrote a book any day of the week. He don't make no mistakes. Proverbs 13:24. He that spareth his rod hateth his son, but he that loveth him chasteneth him betimes. You know what the rod is. It's a hickory switch about as big as that thing right there. See that thing? It'll look like that right there. And you get you a hickory switch about as big as that right there. And if you spare it, you don't love your son. The Lord said you hated your child. What it said? He said, "I don't like it." Tell God you don't like what He put in the Bible. See, kick a slice out of your crib. Spit your pacifier out and jump up and down and see what good it does you. I'm telling you, that'll stand when this blessed world's on fire. And God said, don't spare. Chasing him be times. That means often, every now and then, early. Alright? Look at Proverbs chapter 22 and verse 6. Flip right on over. Proverbs chapter 22 and verse 6. This is very simple. Train up a child, how? Teach them evolution and all the options? No. Educate them in all the ways of the heathen so they'll know the difference? No. Train them up in the way they should go. And when they're old, they'll not depart from it. That's why we believe in Christian school, Christian education. Proverbs 22:15. Look at chapter 22 and verse 15. Parents, giving you some advice here. Proverbs 22:15. Foolishness is bound in the heart of a child, but the rod of correction shall drive it far from him. Isn't foolishness bound in the heart of every little old boy and girl. Boy, they just want to cut up. They want to act up. You say, well, I just wish they'd behave. The rod of correction will drive it far from them. Buddy, I remember one time I had to be less than six because we moved to Nebo when I had just turned 6 years old. So I was under six. I was four or five. And my mom, we went to the Methodist Church up in Clinchfield because it was right up the hill where we live on Church Street in Clinchfield. So mom walked us kids. We didn't have a car or daddy had it and gone when we did have one. So mom walked us kids up the hill to Clinchfield Methodist Church. Outside the church, there was boxwoods. We're growing. All you parents listening? Y'all listening? Boxwoods. Y'all know what a boxwood is. Right round bush. And we walked up the steps and into that church. And one Sunday, I was being mean. I know you can't believe that. But it was them other boys. It was their fault. I was cutting up. I don't know what we was doing. We was talking. We was doing something. I don't remember what it was. And I'm laughing, cutting up. And Mama said, be quiet. And buddy, she jerked me up by the arm, took me out the door of the church like this, and she broke a limb off that boxwood and just went, and Lordy mercy. Look, I'm an old man now and I still remember it. Foolishness is bound in the heart of a child. But the rod. Now, she'd have just said, Danny, you're not going to get to watch Deputy Dog today. I would have never remembered that. I would have never remembered it. But I remember getting that whipping. Now listen, from then on, if my mom, are y'all parents listening to me? Some of y'all evidently need to get this through your head. A kid ain't supposed to rejoice when you start out the door with them. They're supposed to say, uh-oh. Bloody murder. I mean, I've seen kids go, wah, 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 and ain't a thing in the world wrong with them. Wah, wah. They're just wanting to go out in the parking lot and play. And Mama says, I take them out and pick them out. And all the way out, they go, there's something wrong with Mama's brain. Mama's brain ain't functioning properly. Do you not realize you are being manipulated by a little brat? Can you not figure that out? Here's the way it's supposed to go. Shut up. What? You want to go out? When you start, you're supposed to say, we had one up there one time. It's a little boy, and his daddy took that advice I just gave y'all. And he took him out, and while he was going out the door, that kid was screaming, I'll be good! Too late, son. Judgment Day, you're going to hell right out there in the parking lot. That's right, buddy. It's over, man. Judgment Day, the wrath of God's falling on you. Listen, kids ain't supposed to shout and be happy when you take them up and go out. They'll say, oh no, oh no, 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 Mama, no, no, Mama. Mama, I'll be good, I'll be good, I'll be good. And teach them to behave. You say, well, they don't understand. They're supposed to be in the nursery. And if they can't understand, the rod of correction will drive it far from them. Take your Bible, turn to Proverbs 23, verse 13. I've got three more verses I'm going to give you before we get the rest of these points. Proverbs 23, 13. Look at Proverbs 23 and verse 13. Withhold not correction from the child. Withhold not correction from... Oh, I'll let it go. It said, thou shalt beat him with a rod and shalt deliver his soul from hell. Verse 14. They get saved. I'm not talking about child abuse. Some people see that word beat and they go, oh, the Bible said beat your kid. It don't say abuse them. It don't say be mean to them. It just says in the right way, spank them. That's what God does to us. God chastises his children. I get chastised. I've been took to the woodshed by the Lord. You know why? He's a good parent. All right? Next verse. Proverbs 29:15. Some of y'all didn't agree with that verse. You got problems, all I can say. You don't agree with the Bible, you got problems that a counselor can't help. You got problems that a book on raising children ain't going to help if you disagree with the Word of God. Proverbs 29:15. Correct thy son, and he shall give thee rest. Yea, he shall give delight unto thy soul. You don't want to be proud of them one day? Correct them while they're young. Teach them right. Nobody's kids are perfect. And by the way, all you people in here, you don't have no right judging other people's kids. Don't you say, well, my kids are perfect and hers are meaner than the devil. Well, if you've had theirs, hers, yours might be meaner than the devil. And it ain't over yet, so don't be so judgmental on each other's children. Amen? You keep yours straight. Don't worry about everybody else. Say amen right there. All right. Use the rod of correction when necessary. Now, if kids, especially mama, they'll play on you. Emotion. And boy, that's why it's so hard for a mama to raise kids by herself. Daddy, he's a Supreme Court judge. Mama, she's a shock absorber. She sort of lets it go. We used to pull wool over mom's eyes. We could push mom. Because we knew, oh, she ain't going to do nothing. Ah, she ain't going to do nothing. But man, my daddy had worked third shift. And he'd go out and work all day and then come in and sleep. And he'd have to get up at 10 o'clock and go to work at night. And we'd be downstairs. We had the basement fixed up. And that's where we had band practice, guitars, drums. And my bedroom was over here. And one of my sister's bedrooms was over here. And we lived in the basement. And we'd be down there cutting up. And we'd ball up a wad of socks. And I'd throw them and hit my sister in the back of the head. Yes, sweet little innocent me. My sister's made me be mean. It was their fault. Everything wrong I ever done. Now anyway, I'd throw something and say, dang it! We used to fuss. Me and my sister, we'd lay on the couch and we'd be watching TV. None of y'all ever done nothing like this. I mean, we was about 9 or 10 years old. And have you ever laid on the couch and you said, quit! And she's saying, quit! And you're kicking her legs that way and she's kicking your legs this way. And then you get up and draw a line saying, you can't come across that line. Stay on your head. None of y'all ever did nothing like that, did you? That's the way kids are. Finally, I just kicked my sister off of the couch. But you know what? Mom would say, y'all be quiet now. You're going to wake your daddy up. Well, we'd quieten down for a minute. Then it'd get a little bit louder. Little by little. One does something, another does something. One does something, another does something. Mom said, now, hush! We'll wake your daddy up in a minute. Okay. We'd watch TV. Throw something. Push something and start up again. And next thing you know, we'd be hollering, screaming like, all of a sudden, we heard the door slam upstairs. My daddy come down them steps, boom, boom, boom. Oh, no! We done it now! We done woke daddy up! Buddy, I'm telling you, when he'd get mad, daddy was raised in West Virginia. He didn't have no class on how to... He didn't set you down and say, now, son, we're going to have a word of prayer, and then we're going to scripturally... No, I didn't know none of that kind of stuff. I mean, blah! You know what? It wasn't good, but it worked. We straightened up! Let me say number five. I'll give you these last three and we'll go. Number five, write this down. The will of the parent must prevail over the will of the child. The will of the parent must prevail over the will of a child. See, a kid, the Bible says, is born like a wild ass's colt. What it says? Like a donkey. They're stubborn. And you will never raise a kid right till you break them. You got to have the will broke, just like an animal. And there's a lot of kids running around here, 12, 13, 14, running wild as a buck, but ain't never had that will broke by the parents. That sounds mean, but it ain't mean. It's for their own good. It's like, have you ever tried to ride, has anybody in here ever tried to ride a horse that had never been rode before? I don't even like to ride them that's been rode before. Horses bother me. I don't want to ride one that's got a mind of its own like that. And I want one with a motor. You can just turn it on, turn it off. But you know what? Son, you get on a horse that ain't never been rode, they'll sling you near the highway out there, buddy. I mean, they ain't been broke. And that's the way a child is. A child's will must be broke. If you got a little brat, 4 and 5 years old, and they order the whole family around, and you have to make decisions based on what that thing wants, and you go or not go depending on what that one little one wants, you're raising a devil. You're raising a person that's going to embarrass you when they get, as soon as they get to be a teenager. You better let them know you're the big person. They're the little person. You're paying the bills. You're putting the food on the table. They're going to do what you say. The will of the parent must prevail over the will of the child. A child must know who's boss. Number six. Write this down. If you want to be a good parent, when you say it, mean it. When you say it, mean it. Don't say, turn that down 10 times. If you don't turn it down, I'm going with you. 5 minutes later. If you don't turn it down, I'm going with you. 5 minutes later. If you don't turn it down, I'm going with you. They know you ain't going to whip them. They know you just lying. You know what? They ought to know, uh-oh, if my daddy said it, I'm going to get it. How many of you ever, you're out somewhere and you act like a brat, and they told you, now, when you get home, you're going to get it. And all the way home, you hoped. They'll forget all about it. The son, as they being mean to you. Here's a young man raising his hand right here. You look like you've been abused. Have you been sunburned? Well, bless your heart. You been whooped him? He's been whooped. Bless his heart. Anyway, what was I talking about? I was talking about what? Oh yeah, all the way home. You're dreading it. You think, well, they'll forget about that. And sometimes your mom and dad will say, rather than have a big mess and him crying and boo-hoo and everything, I'll just forget. You really make a mistake like that. If you say, look, you're going to get it, carry through. Let them know when you say it that you mean it. Because they never will believe you. Give it to them. You can lighten up a little bit, but give it to them. Amen? By the way, when you promise them something good, give it to them. When you promise, a lot of times we say, now if you'll be good, we'll take you and get you ice cream fried, you know, something like that, you know. And then we parents think, oh, they'll forget about it. They'll never even remember that. They don't forget about it neither. You promise a kid ice cream, buddy, they ain't going to forget about it. Or you promise them to go to somewhere. You promise them to you promise them you'll take them somewhere. It's in the back of their mind. You said you was going to take me. They'll never forget it. So if you promise them something bad, give it to them. Promise them something good, give it to them. One time we went to West Virginia when I was little. Back then, Lord, I got to drive up there tomorrow. And back then, the road was awful. The road was awful. That road over there going towards your church, Mr. Bentley, I mean, it was like that for hours. Hours. No air conditioning in the car. And we had an old car, and it was Mom and Dad in the front, and my two sisters in the back seat. And I, you know where I laid up there behind the back seat where that glass was over my face? Have you ever done that when you was a little kid? There wasn't no seat belts and all this stuff like you've got now. Well, I laid in the back. I remember laying up in the back of that car and looking up the sky to see your breath on that windshield, on the back glass. And it took forever! All night we drove to go to West Virginia. And Daddy had a coon dog. Daddy got this coon dog, and it was nasty. Big old dog, he was that tall, big old blue tick coon dog, and he wanted to take it with us. And Mom said, now, Lawrence, you can't take that dog. And he promised my sisters, I forgot what he told them. You remember what it was? I ever tell you that story? He promised my sisters some big something or another if they'd let that dog ride with them. And we had to stop and let that thing go to the bathroom, and it stunk. In no air condition. I mean, in the back seat of a car, brother, with a coon dog for 8 hours. And it was awful. And Daddy would go to sleep and let Mom drive, and he criticized Mom for driving Mom would drive for hours and hours. Them old roads foggy, and you go around like that. And Daddy get up and said, we not got no father and dad. He said, Mom stopped and run around and looked around every curb before she would get back and drive around it. He said she never would drive slow, and he'd sleep, and three kids piled up in the front seat asleep, and the coon dog laid on the floor in the back. And he promised my sisters that he'd take them somewhere to do something. And if my sister's here, she might be here next Sunday, she'd tell you what he promised her. And she said, Dad never did do that for us. She ain't forgot that. If you tell them something, do it. Make good on what you say. If you say you're going to get a weapon, give it to them for heaven's sake. Say you're going to get an ice cream, give them an ice cream. Be a man or your word or woman. Old Jack Wood, old preacher Jack Wood, he had a boy got out and got in trouble. And this kid got in trouble. I don't know if he's drunk or got in a fight or something. Got locked up. Locked up. And they called him. Listen, parents. They called him and said, Preacher, your son's locked up in jail. I want you to come down there and get him. He said, I ain't getting him. He said, I left him, let him sit in jail about a week or two. Now, I know the temptation is, go get him out. Go get him out. Go get him out. And I'm not saying, that's what I usually did when one of mine got locked up. But I'm telling you, no, they never did get locked up. But you know what? He let him sit in there about a week. And he said, that boy got it. He said, I ain't getting you out. You got yourself in that mess. You're going to find out what happens when you disobey the law. And that boy got out and went to college and got him an education and became a lawyer. He learned his lesson. You'll never help a kid. Listen to me. You'll never help a kid if every time they get in trouble, you run to their defense and you take their side against the school teacher and you take their side against the principal at school and you take their side against the police and you're always bailing them out. Let them know if they do wrong, they're going to pay that price. And you ain't going to bail them out. Last, I'll say this. Lord have mercy, I have no plans on preaching this long. Y'all must need it bad. Number 7. The only reason I can figure out. Number 7. Lord, I got a million things to do tonight. Pack clothes, make radio program and everything. So I should have been gone 30 minutes ago. Number 7. Keep your kids in church. Keep your kids in church. If you've ever heard a word Brother Danny said in your life, keep your kids in church. Keep them in church Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, revival night, camp meeting, revival meeting, youth rally, camp, choir, everything. Get them in everything you can possibly get them in. Now, if you got a husband or wife that pulls and backslides and fights you all the step of the way, do the best you can and God will make it up. But keep them in church. Get them in Sunday school. Get them in their Sunday school class. Get them in the Word of God. Get them under the preaching of the Word of God. You don't know this, maybe, but these kids that were here this morning and tonight have been helped spiritually just by being in service this morning and tonight, where the other kids is out there playing ball somewhere tonight, missed the help. They should know. If your kids get up on Sunday morning and say, Mom, are we going to church today? Mama needs to get right with God. She's backslid. They should never say, are we going? Sunday, ain't it? That's what people used to call me. They call and say, but Danny, y'all have church? I said, Sunday, ain't it? They said, but it's Christmas. It's Sunday, ain't it? It's Sunday, we're having church. If it's hot, we're having it. If it's 30 below zero, we're having it. I believe it's important. Amen. I don't believe we ought to just cut out church forever and any little thing that comes along. I cannot believe the parents that pay $500 for a kid to go to cheerleading camp and won't even put them in Bible camp or even bring them to Bible school and it's free. Or having Sunday school. And brother, if they're on a team, they'll make sure they're at every game. They'll make sure they're at every practice. They'll make sure they're there. They pay all their dues. They buy their uniforms. They respect their coach. But it don't matter. They can talk any way they want to their Sunday school teacher. Walk right by them, not say nothing. It doesn't matter. Listen, your priorities are wrong, friend. Teach them that the house of God is the most important thing in this world, and being respectful to God's men and God's house. You're doing them a favor if you'll keep them in church. Some girls was calling me Danny, and Kelly's supposed to say, I'm calling Brother Danny. They said, Danny. She said, Brother Danny. They said, Danny. She said, Brother Danny. And not that I'm anything special or anything, but they should be taught. They should be taught to respect the office or the pastor, the Sunday school teachers, yes, sir, no, sir, yes, ma'am, no, ma'am, thank you. I mean, just keep them in church where they learn how to. They ain't going to get it out there in the world. They ain't going to get it off MTV or heaven's sake. You know what they're taught out there in the world? They're taught this. You are the most important thing in the world, and doing what you want is what you should do for yourself and make yourself happy. That's what they're taught. That's the world's philosophy. They had old Bruce Caitlin on something the other night, some sports award thing. I just saw it. They stood up and made a speech, and they said they celebrated. It's so wonderful. He said, I'm giving the courage to thousands of young people who want to be themselves. What about when a serial killer wants to be himself? Should he be himself? Should he suppress his desires? See where we're headed? See where this country's headed tonight? Our foundations have been jerked out from under us. The only hope we've got is to do what I've said here tonight by the book. I'm not giving you my opinion tonight. I'm giving you what this book said. And it stood the test of time. And it'll help us make it on in the rest of the way. Let's stand with our heads bowed and eyes closed. I wonder tonight how many parents. How many parents tonight, while she plays softly, just get out of their seat, come down here and meet me at the altar tonight. Say, God, help me to be the mama. Help me to be the daddy. God, give me enough sense to know when my kid's trying to con me. God.